Chapter 9. Vanished. Other than his family, cattle were the love of Tom Gorman's life. He was far ahead of his ranching neighbors in terms of his abilities as a breeder of high-end cattle and even as a cattle rancher. Gorman took it personally if even a single animal disappeared or died. He would be out at 3 a.m. in snowstorms taking care of newborn calves. He was obsessed with good ranch management. Then, in winter of 1994-95, some very weird things began to happen to his cattle. Immediately after a severe snowstorm, Tom would begin rounding up the animals from a far-flung corner of his ranch. That way he could have a head count within 24 hours. On this particular night, one of his breeding cows had disappeared in the middle of a snowstorm. He spent almost 24 hours on horseback, plodding through snow 12 inches deep, looking for the registered Angus. It was one of his best, and he was determined to find her. He imagined that she might have fallen and broken her leg and was slowly freezing to death. He had searched most of the ranch, except for a particularly dense area of trees in the southwest. Now, rounding a thick copse, Tom sighed with relief. Ahead of him were very fresh tracks in the snow. It would be child's play to track the missing animal now and bring her back. The tracks were plain as daylight, and they wound through the dense thickets. As he followed them, Tom's brow puckered. From the spacing of the tracks in the snow and from the bits of snow kicked up, his experienced eye could tell that the cow had begun to run. This was unusual behavior for a cow in the middle of a snowstorm. Usually it would huddle near a thick grove of trees and get whatever shelter it could until the storm abated. What was this animal running from? Gorman knew that predators usually do not hunt during a snowstorm. As he tracked the animal, it became apparent that the cow had been running at full tilt. She had swerved and careened madly through bushes. Her tracks had broken off several sizable twigs and even small branches of the thick vegetation. The weird thing was that the cows were the only tracks. What was she running from? Tom felt a mixture of puzzlement and dread. When he rounded a corner and entered a clearing 50 yards in diameter, his breath stopped. The tracks ran wildly out into the middle of the clearing where there was no cover. He felt a cold chill. The tracks just stopped dead in a foot of snow. There was no ambiguity. The animal had just vanished. The last four tracks indicated that the cow was still running at full tilt. The small bits of snow lying around the actual indentations were exactly the same as the previous four imprints. Vainly, he looked left and right, wondering if she could have somehow leaped into a crevice, but there were no crevices. She had just vanished. Gorman quartered the area for half an hour, carefully avoiding the tracks. What could have lifted a 1,000-pound cow in full flight off the ground in the middle of a vicious snowstorm? Gorman knew that most helicopters couldn't do it, but something had bodily and dramatically stolen his cow by removing the running animal from the ground. It just didn't make sense. The other possibility was even more fantastic and unbelievable. Could the cow have simply run through a doorway? Tom's mind flashed on the bizarre orange holes in the sky that were becoming increasingly common to him and his family. He hated science fiction. He was a practical man. But he forced himself to ponder the unthinkable. If the cow had run through some kind of hole, then that doorway had been a one-way entrance. Tom never saw his animal again. Over the next few months, another four animals just disappeared. Tom's stress level had climbed dramatically as a result. By April 1995, the very long winter had ended and the heavy rains had begun. For nearly 2 days, the rains lashed the ranch and, as usual, Tom was out there tracking his cattle, along with his son Tad, also on horseback. As the rain hammered down, and with only about 20 feet of visibility, Tad was chasing one of the calves that had been born a couple of months prior, when he passed a bawling heifer in the canal. She was trying to climb up the muddy embankment, but it was so slippery that she kept sliding back into the water. The animal was plainly distressed and was being vocal about it. Tad made a mental note to turn back to rescue the heifer after catching a calf. It took him 20 minutes to catch the panicked animal and return it to the mother, who was waiting patiently in a sheltered grove. Then Tad returned for the struggling heifer. His heart sank as he saw the animal lying motionless in the canal. In spite of the downpour, the canal was not too deep, so he wondered how on earth the heifer had drowned. He dismounted his horse and jumped the few feet into the canal. What he saw made him retch and holler for his dad. The heifer was lying motionless, and her entire rear end had been carved out with what looked like an extremely sharp instrument. Gorman came galloping up at the sound of his son's panicked yells. His face turned to ashen when he jumped into the canal with his son. There was no blood in the stream. The cut was flawless. It looked as if a 6-inch diameter, perfectly circular saw with a sucking device, had jammed into the heifer's rear end and effortlessly sucked out the entire insides of the animal without any loss of blood. And it had happened right in the middle of a heavy rainstorm. Tad swore to his dad that he had seen the animal fully alive and healthy a mere 20 minutes before. Both of them climbed grimly out of the canal in silence. Tom took a rope, tied it around the heifer's hocks, and with a rope tied around the saddle of his horse, hauled the dead animal out of the canal. He felt sick to his stomach. He wondered what he would tell Ellen so she wouldn't become hysterical. The strain of the missing cattle together with the relentless campaign to hide things in her home was beginning to take a toll on his wife. Ellen had begun to feel that something, or someone, was constantly watching her and waiting for her to leave a room before taking something and hiding it in the microwave. Now this bizarre mutilation had happened with her son and her husband very close by. Tom had heard the phrase cattle mutilation before, but had dismissed it as the fanciful campfire stories of bored cowboys. He took it very seriously now. He searched the banks of the canal for footprints or tracks, but he knew the heavy rains would have obscured them in a matter of minutes. 3 months later, while riding out early one morning to check his cattle, Tom found yet another mutilated animal. The black Simmental cow was lying near some bushes. He had been worried because he had seen several mysterious lights flying low among his cattle the previous night. The bright yellow headlamps that flew silently and low over the property had become commonplace and created yet more stress and fear for his family. As Tom rode toward the animal, his worst fears were realized. The 4-year-old cow's reproductive organs and rear end had been carved out. As he dismounted from his horse, Tom felt a cold anger welling up inside him. An unknown trespasser was violating the sanctity of private property and his family's well-being. He was determined to catch whoever it was and, if possible, make them pay. Tom's eye caught a glistening in the sun near the animal's head. One of the ears had been skillfully removed, and right next to the shoulder, a pool of brownish liquid was reflecting the sun on the animal's hide. The pool was about 2 inches in diameter. He looked closely, and it appeared to be evaporating. He gingerly put his finger into it, and a thin, gel-like substance felt cold. He smelled it and noted a strange chemical odor that he did not recognize. He was determined to try to sample the strange substance, so he rode swiftly back to the homestead to get a tightly sealed container. When he returned, it was too late. The material had almost completely evaporated. Gorman swore in frustration. In early 1996, Tom lost 2 more animals to mutilation, and this time he noticed the carcasses were decaying much more slowly than they should have, given the humidity and the temperature. Each time parts of the cattle had been removed with the grim precision of a master surgeon, and each time Tom had seen the puzzling lights flitting around his animals the previous night. He also noticed that the mysterious mutilators seemed to prefer to carry out their handiwork under cover of heavy lightning and thunderstorms. How any technology could reliably function in a heavy thunderstorm was beyond him, but Tom had begun to wonder if he was the victim of some very advanced military skullduggery. Was his ranch the site of some military technology concept testing? Gorman was never sure. Tom was losing his livelihood, and he felt that finding these perpetrators was now an urgent matter. He was sure that these interlopers were breaking the law. They also had very advanced abilities and used extraordinary stealth to carry out their missions. He was at a complete loss to understand what technology could mutilate animals with such precision. But Tom's problems with cattle mutilations, although economically devastating, were not unique. They had been widespread throughout the western states and many eastern states since the early 1970s.